Thank you, God, tonight. And my testimony is tomorrow I will be 72.
Yay. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glad you made it.
It's wonderful to be not only older, but to be older and still be able to function. So
amen to that.
I thank God for that. Thank God for his precious son, Jesus Christ. For a few minutes tonight, I won't spend much time. It's amazing to me how many people look for help in so many different places except God. And even among the people who look for help in God, they look for help in God with the people who have the least amount of obligation. You don't want to be in a church that requires you to do too much. You want to be where you can kind of live free and come and go as you please and do whatever you want to do and do all these things and just kind of, you know, serve God on your own terms and so forth and so on. And, you know, really, for the truth of it is how silly we are to want to serve God on our own terms.
Yes.
The changes that God makes in one when God fills us with his spirit are so outstanding and so maturing. And they do so many things for us to help us in life. And that's the reason why, you know, when we look at it in the Word of God and look how the people live in God, it's really... you do yourself not a service by not allowing the Lord to lead you and guide you.
Amen.
By allowing the Lord. Because God knows everything.
Yes.
And while you're trying to figure your life out and trying to find this person's opinion of what worked for them, and, you know, some things work for some people in life, some things work for others. God works for everybody.
Yes. Amen.
He has something for everybody. It doesn't matter about who you are or where you are or whatever. God has everything that you need. So I thank God tonight for the Word of God, and I thank him. I was looking at the scripture tonight. I'm going to go to it, and then I'm going to be done for this evening. I want to go back to the scripture. It's in Luke. And I want to encourage everybody tonight that if you're listening to us in the Word of God, what I want to say to you is one thing we try to do here in Promise, we don't have a lot of people, but when we get up, we do try to give you the Word of God. And we don't play games with it. I don't have any, I have nothing to gain for anyone, from anyone in here, except what I get in eternal life.
Amen.
I'm not trying to hang on to anybody just to fill up my church.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not trying to keep people, you know, hold them captive to me or whatever. What I am trying to do is lead captivity captive as Christ did, and
yes,
take them to Christ and have you be in Christ. And anybody who sits in a place where they're not being nourished and not being fed, I'll give you an example, because the truth of it is it's quite simple, really. If you're someplace and you're not willing to say that there is a way that you have to live in God in order to go to heaven, and you're living kind of on edge so that everybody that you want to be in heaven, you put in heaven. Everybody you don't like, you kind of put in hell. That's the kind of life you live. You probably not saved yourself.
Amen.
Because when people really have the Holy Spirit and you really dwell in God, it doesn't matter if it's my family, it's my friends or whatever. They're either saved or they're unsaved. They either belong to God or they don't.
Amen.
And when you don't come to the point of saying, of being able to, and it's not one of this big judgmental, hey, he's judging everybody. No, no, no. I'm not judging anyone in that regard. I'm not the righteous judge. That's God.
That's God.
Amen.
There is it's kind of funny, and it's not funny at all. Mobile, you know, we live down here in the middle of nowhere. You would think that crime in a big city wouldn't be here, but you know, Mobile has had 8 shootings in the last 5 days. In the same neighborhood. The problem is when you don't have God, your morals are skewed.
That's true. Yes.
And you decide for yourself what is right and what is wrong and what vengeance you should mete out and what deserves to be, you know, acted upon and this and that and the other and which way you will go and how things will work out. You need God.
Yes,
because there's one thing that every one of us are going to do. You know, I'm I grew up, when I was growing up, black people used to say all the time, it's still true. They say, I ain't got to do but two things, stay black and die. Yeah. Actually, that's not true. If you're black or white, you stay white and die, stay black and die, orange, die, green, die. But the reality is no, you do. There's three things you have to do. You have to stay whatever you are and then die and then go through eternity.
Yes,
that part comes.
Yes.
Not that simple. Yes. So all I got to do is do this and die. No, you don't end at that point.
Yes.
And I say this all the time because I watch people who play games. You know, when the Lord called me to preach, it wasn't about one of these things where I was advertising. I saw him, you know what, I can do that. I can do that.
Yes.
That's a good job. I can do that. And I like to be in front of people. No, it was a struggle for me. I didn't run from God. I'm not going to tell that lie, but I had to seriously consider it. And it was like being married. When I made up my mind I was going to preach, it was for life. And it wasn't for anybody. It was for God. When I decided I was going to be married, it was to my wife.
Yes.
Wasn't anybody else or anything else. And it's that way in God. When you come to God, you have to make up your mind you're coming to God. Not for someone else, but for God.
Yes.
Not to impress someone else, but for God. You need God.
Yes.
I need Him. Not just in what I'm going to, but in the life that I have now. And I'm so, if anything frustrates me, is watching people sit up and eat crumbs from the master's table when they could be fed.
Yes.
And then they just keep on dragging and struggling and going through and this and all that. And really, you just need to get someplace where you can eat a full meal.
Yes.
Be nourished.
I want to look in Luke, and let me see if I can find my scripture here. And Luke, the second chapter, and I'm only going to use one verse tonight and a couple others, and then I'm going to go on about my business. Everybody here tonight has something they need God to do.
Yes.
And my words to you tonight is have faith in God, because God will do it. With God, all things are possible.
Yes.
And stop trying to apply our earthly restrictions and boundaries to God.
Yes.
Yeah. One time the disciples were with God, were with Jesus, and with the rich man, and Jesus told the rich man, he said, rich man said, I've done everything I need to do. He says, well, go sell everything then, and then come follow me. And he said, I can't do that. And the disciples said to Jesus, they said, well, you know, if rich people can't be saved, who then can be saved?
Yes.
Because rich people are supposed to be do everything they want to do. As a matter of fact, a lot of us, that's the standards we have. That's why we watch them on TV.
Yes.
That's why we like to watch them on Extra, and the mansions of the rich and famous, and the yachts of the rich and famous, and the this and that. If I'm not going to be rich and famous, let me love riches through them. If only you would love God.
Yes, yes.
If only you would be so drawn to Him. So many things would work out. So many things would be through. And Jesus told them, He said to them, they said, He could tell, they really held rich people in high esteem. Did you ever get that out of that scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they held them in very high esteem.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they also felt like a lot of people like to say in churches, I got all my, God's on my side because I got a lot of wealth. Well, I thank God that you have a lot of wealth, but it's the other way around. You have wealth because you have, you have wealth because you have God, but your wealth doesn't necessarily mean that you're God.
Yeah, true.
It would be that the people who have the wealth who are godly, they thank God every day for every dime they got. But these people held, the disciples held rich people in high esteem, like a lot of people do. That's why you watch them on television and you like to watch all the, it's just a great thing. And everybody can say, well, that ain't me or whatever. But, that's what we do. Have you ever watched Columbo? That's the old show. He only hunts for murderers of rich people.
Right.
You ever watched the soap operas, the daytime soap operas, General Hospital and everything, all that stuff? I don't know. I haven't watched it in so many years. I don't even know what's on there. It's all doctors and lawyers and rich people and the folk who live on, we just love watching them, Baywatch and all them things. We just love watching them, don't you? Yeah, you do. Don't have a problem with it. But the point is, you hold them in such high esteem. Everybody in Congress
You know, they're either millionaires or they're robbing and stealing and doing everything to become one, or whatever they can do. And the esteem, the value is there. And since when did actors of all people, you know, actors of all people who pretend to always be something else other than they are?
Yes.
And they're like royalty, and they're the cream of the earth, actors and athletes and entertainers and all those. Folks just love them, don't they? Yes. Yeah, where they are. We talk about the millions of dollars they get. Hey, I'm not envious. It doesn't bother me. One say, no, that's not the truth. It doesn't bother me at all. I have something they don't have. I have a lot of things. I have God, and then I have peace. I have joy unspeakable. It's uninterrupted. I don't go through, you know, I'm not under any doctor's care. I don't need psychiatric care. I don't need all the pills they show on television for depression. I don't go through all that. And I'm not knocking anybody who does. I'm just telling you that for things of the mind and stuff like that, I have an answer for you. It's God.
Yes.
You might not, you know, you might not be healed from paralysis, but one thing I know, God will certainly set you free from it. You don't have to be in God very long to do it. And that's things to trouble your mind.
Yes.
Because that's an easy thing for God to fix, and He drives away all the evil spirits to trouble you. I have no problem saying there's a problem with you. You have mega $1 million and you're depressed. There's nothing, you know, then say, well, you know, they have troubles, they have things. Then you've answered my question. There are some things that money cannot buy.
That's right.
And those things come from God. You see, God is stronger than your money, because while there's some things your money can't buy, there's nothing that God can't supply.
Amen.
There is no healing that God cannot heal. You know, you really want to be happy? Find Jesus. And put yourself in it. Don't play games with it. Don't be halfway in, halfway out. Get in there.
Yes.
Everything about God is great. I want to read this scripture in Luke, the second chapter. And it's talking about Jesus. And let's see. Verse 21, 2 and 21. So what is saying, Christmas? I know. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. I was thinking about it tonight. I was thinking about Jesus. And I was thinking about a sermon that I heard my really good friend Bruno preaching. One that myself, I don't know how many years ago, but a revelation I got, that there's no man who ever lived stronger than Jesus. No man who was more of a man than Jesus. You have to take into consideration that Jesus was one. He was perfect in obedience to the Father. He did the Father's will no matter what. He realized what the impact of his coming was all about. He knew it was really all about. It was to save me.
Yeah.
And to save you, whether you are or not. And the battle to go to the cross was one where it wasn't a thing where they put him in a straitjacket and chained him up and drug him up the hill. He went.
Freely.
Gave himself freely. If he had been taken captive to Calvary, we couldn't be free today. We couldn't be saved today. He had to give his life, not have someone take his life, but he had to give his life for me. And so when we look at men and of today, one of the biggest problems I found, like I'm on here tonight, let me see how many men I have on here other than myself. Ella Elgin is one, Ella Russell is one. Everybody else on here, unless there's a child someplace, is female. You know why? Because the men are such pathetic men. And they're so weak. And so, you know, they're weak to the world, weak to everything. None of them, they have no sense of responsibility. That's the reason why my stand on abortion is, when it talks about abortion, why are you always talking to women about having abortions and you're not talking to the men? You need to hold them equally responsible, since no woman gets pregnant by herself.
Right.
You need to hold them equally responsible and round them up and really do some serious things. Here's Jabbo, who won't take care of his children, and got about 11 of them, you know, by all these different people and whatever, and not worried about paying child support because he ain't working.
Yes.
Well, give him a job.
Yeah.
We need to have a labor camp.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's not because you're a criminal that you are a criminal, because you aren't taking care of your children.
Right.
Any man
doesn't
take care of his children is worse than an infidel. Now, you don't want him to be an infidel if there's your son or somebody you love, but that's what he is.
Amen.
That's what he is. I didn't say he had to be married to him. I said take care of your children. And if you're not going to do that, then when we start talking about the issue of what women do with their bodies and things, then yes, I'm against abortion. Now, I have to have one.
Yes.
But let's just stop making it a woman's issue and start teaching our young men, hey, look, you ought not want some child somewhere in the world starving while you're walking around wearing $200, $300 Air Jordans with your silly self and skin-tight pants that look like you're an idiot. And here's your child out here running around starving, or your children out here running around starving, or you continue to run around with all the women you can find and make more of them. That's a culture. That's something that needs to be changed in our culture, not just one-on-one. But, I mean, we need to really go on a campaign about that. And if you're someplace and somebody's preaching to you and they're not telling you that you need to be responsible, when you look at Jesus, you're looking at somebody who's responsible.
Responsible, yes.
You're looking at somebody who's the ultimate in being responsible. And don't tell me, don't sit up in somebody's church. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's this one or if it's in the presiding bishop's church. Don't sit up in there and not take care of your babies and your responsibilities and talk about you know Jesus. Jesus is a very responsible person. And if I was, and if I was young these days, and I'm not, but I did come to Christ when I was younger because I figured it out, because life would be so much better. There's nothing that a young person can do greater today than to put their life in God's hands.
Amen.
I didn't say in some preacher's hands, not even in this preacher's hands. I don't want your life in my hands. Put your life in God's hands. I don't have the capability for you to put your life. I don't want the I don't want the responsibility for your happiness or your joy. I need you to go and get your joy and your happiness from the same place I get mine. And that's Jesus. There's too much in us. We're too complex for everybody. You know, I'm married. I'm part of the package for Paula's joy, but I'm not her absolute joy. There's too much that she needs that I cannot provide that causes her to have peace and have joy. Why should I be upset when she doesn't make my joy perfect? Well, I wish I had another one. No, she's not supposed to do it. She does it to the limit of her capabilities. I do it to the limit of mine, and God makes up the rest.
Amen. Because
there's so many different places that God has to fill in. So when you sit in some place where you're not really getting a lot from God, go find you some place where you are. He says, and when the day of our purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, talking about Mary and Joseph, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. 22. As it is written, the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. In other words, every firstborn male, God says back in Leviticus, every firstborn male really belongs to God.
Yes.
And instead of sacrificing the male, they made the other sacrifices for it. But anyway, that represented Christ coming, the firstborn of them that slept.
Yes.
And then, firstborn of those who died. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem in verse number 23. And to offer and sacrifice offering to that which is said in the law of Moses, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And this shows you that Mary and Joseph were very poor, although they were rich. There's no way in the world that money can account for being the mother of the Son of God and the father, or in the earthly father of the Son of God. To be trusted by God to that extent is greater than anything anybody else can ever do. So then he brings them, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was a just man and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, I'm going to stop here. It's probably my last scripture today. That word consolation, when it says he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, he's waiting for the Messiah, the Christ, the deliverer. How long has he been waiting for him? How long has he been waiting? Well, Simeon's not that old, but earth has been waiting for this deliverer for about 6,000 years, ever since the garden. They have been waiting for the person who's going to come and reverse what Adam has done in the garden by causing us to fall to sin and the things that come with it. Earthquake in Turkey. Earth was not created to have earthquakes and shake and to have tornadoes and all those things. Those things are a result of the earth travailing because of not my sins or your sins. I didn't put an S on it. But the power and the spirit of sin. When are we ever going to find out? It's not what you do that causes you not to be in God. It's the spirit of sin that you're born in. The things that you do are symptomatic of sin that you're born in, for all are born in sin. And God comes to break that power so that your life can go forward in God. And instead of having failure upon failure and scraping and crawling all the time, and somehow or another we don't put it together that in our life we don't have God. And when I say scraping and crawling, you don't have to be rich to be, you don't have to be poor to scrape and crawl. You can be a multi-billionaire and still scrape and crawl through the earth.
Yes.
Because something is always keeping you from being all right.
Yes.
You got $1 billion, everybody. Well, something is always keeping you from being able to say, you know what? I really feel all right. I don't need a drink. I feel all right. I don't need anybody to describe anything for me. I feel all right. I'm doing okay. I don't need anybody to come talk me down off of a ledge to keep me from killing myself. And, you know,
this is pretty dumb. You know, if you don't commit suicide, there sure are a lot better ways to do it than that.
But anyway, I don't need anybody to, you know, I feel suicidal. Yes, you do, because you're giving up hope, and who you need is God. You need someone to come in and tell you that everything can be all right and be able to do it.
Yes, and be able to do it. Yes.
Someone to come in, you know, but you don't, you know. And so Simeon is here, and he's an older man, and he says, you know, he's waiting on the consolation. Consolation, that word means the advocate. It means a paraclete. Someone on your side, someone to console you. Many of us tonight, what we need is a consoler.
All right.
We need someone to come in and say to us, hey, you're going to be all right. Things are going to work out. But then, not only does he come in to console, but he also says, this is what you need to do.
Yes.
That's the part where God loses you. You don't mind God saying to you, hey, I can fix it, you'll be all right. But you don't want anybody to tell you what to do.
Yes.
Why don't you let that go? Hell no, I can't let that go. You're not the love of my life. How can you ask me to let that go? Because the love of your life don't love you.
Oh, right, that's right.
Wow.
And all you're doing is with the love of your life. Mm-hmm. Your love of your life is hurting you.
Yes.
And the love of life of your life is destroying you. And not only doing it in this life, but the love of your life is keeping you separated from God so that you'll be destroyed forever.
Right.
Yes.
This thing that you have, so the love of your life, it doesn't have to be a person. It can be your money. It can be your job. It can be your career. It can be whatever you feel like, and I do mean feel like, whatever, because if it's not something that destroys you, you don't have to give it up for God. God didn't ask you to give up your husband and your wife, your job, your career for God. God, that's not a sacrifice to God. God simply, matter of fact, God will give you an advantage in every last one of them if you'll give them over to God. He simply says, don't love them more than me.
Yes, yes.
He says, because if they go south on you, you'll give up on me.
Yes.
You're going to need someone that if this doesn't work, and you know, it doesn't have to be your marriage that it doesn't work. Maybe one of, at some point in time, if you live long enough, one of you is going to die. It's very rare that both of you die at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Hopefully Jesus will come and you'll both get raptured at the same time. But otherwise, things will come.
Yes.
If you love your children, you love them a lot. Yes, you do. If you have the right mindset, they go out. But one of these days, they're going to leave your house.
That's true.
Yes. And if they're too overly in your affections, you have a hard time letting them go.
Yes.
So when they move on to the next life, here you come, butting in that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Trying to keep yourself, you know, in the middle. I'm not saying don't visit, don't do all those, don't love your children, but of those of us who have the Holy Ghost, we know the difference.
Yes. Yes.
We know the difference between a visit and a medal.
Yes.
Yeah, we do. So then, you know, so this man is saying, I'm waiting, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel because for the last 6,000 years, through all this time, 2,000 years, you know, to Noah's time, and another 2,000 years to Moses and so forth and so on, 1,800 years since Isaiah said it, that God is going to send a deliverer, someone who's going to set them free from sin and the devil, someone who's going to break Satan's hold, and someone's going to set them free from sin so they can have eternal life and dwell with God forever. And when Jesus shows up, Simeon recognizes him through the Spirit for who he is. When Jesus shows up in your life, you need to recognize him for who he is. When he touches on things in your life and says to you, I can work out this, I can work out that, and then the part that we don't always get is a major part in the working out is getting you to follow the instructions that he gives you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you are lost and I come along and say to you, I can help you, I can get you unlost. Say, fine, get me unlost. Well, it follows, I'm going to say to you, go down this street, 2 miles, turn left, then go down that way and catch highway number 000 and go through. I've given you some instructions. You can do them or not do them. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I've given you the answer to you being lost. And when God, when Jesus comes along, he says, I'm the one who sets you free from sin. I do something that no one else can do. Because the bind that you have in your life is not just life itself. It's the very sin that holds you in it, and not things you're doing, but the power and the spirit of sin. It is that power that never wants to see you succeed. So the devil keeps sending things in your life that seem like success, but they're not. He sends people in your life that seems like the answer to your dreams, but they're not. He sends this along, but it's not. It's always something, but it never quite gets to the point where you reach where you can say, I feel all right. I'm going to be all right. Things will be all right. It's going to work out. My problems are going to be, well, I might have other problems, but you know what? He can fix those too. He's going to come. So this man says he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him and revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he, before the Lord Christ. Last point. He said to them, looked at them. The Spirit had told him that he was going to live until he saw the Messiah, until he saw the Christ. Now he can die in peace. Because the Christ is here. Let me ask you a question. Sounds morbid, but catch the positive. Can you die in peace? Do you feel like tonight, if you go to bed tonight in your healthy self, if you should not wake up tomorrow morning, are you at peace that you'll wake up in heaven and that everything will be all right? Can you? Are you all right tonight?
All right.
This man said when he saw Jesus, he says, now I can die in peace. He says, because the Holy Ghost told me I was going to live until I saw the consolation of Israel. You know what you're doing? You're living long enough to see Christ, to have Christ. And if you don't have Christ in your life, you know what? This is something you have to answer yourself. If you should, you know, Billy Graham used to ask this all the time. If you should die tonight, will you wake up in heaven or hell? Then he just asked if Jesus should come back today, will you go back with him? And these are all one-word answers. You don't have to write an essay on it. Don't have to write, you know, a thesis on it, or any of those things. It's a one-word answer, and a small word at that. You don't have to say that's affirmative. You don't have to say absolutely. You can just say the one three-letter word, yes. And anything that makes you, you know, be like the rich young ruler, and anything that causes you to say, well, I'm not sure, then I'm not going to say you're not saved, but you need to find out what that is that causes you to say I'm not sure, and you need to get that thing right. And it probably comes that you're not sure because there's something that you feel like this, something's going on. That's an easy fix. Because when you come to Jesus, if you confess your sins, he's righteous and just to forgive you your sins, and his blood cleanses you of all unrighteousness, and he does it immediately, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Don't you know when God forgives you, while we're still looking cross-eyed at you, while we're still mad at you, while we're still acting a fool about you, while we're trying to make up our minds whether you're all right or not, God has already forgiven you, and you need to go on in that. Because God doesn't have to take the next year to decide whether or not you have repented or not. He knows immediately. The Holy Ghost knows right on the spot. If you ask the Lord to save you tonight, don't go out and take a census. Hey, how many of y'all think that he got saved tonight? How many of y'all think he got saved? Well, you know, I don't know. I didn't see any tears. You're not the one searching the heart. You know, you think he got right tonight? Well, I don't know. He didn't he sound too sure to me. Well, if he uttered the words and asked God to forgive him, and if he meant it, and if he has believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for our sins and he was resurrected from the dead, God will forgive him while you're still sitting there scratching your head talking about it.
You know, when they come, you know, there's a way they need to come.
No, they'll come to God. There's no place in my Bible that I read that specifies how loud I have to say, Lord, forgive me. That specifies what I have to be wearing. Specifies what I have to look like. I just need to do it.
Amen.
That's why you don't ask people to forgive you in life. You're too busy with too many mitigators. Well, I would apologize, but no, you need to. Well, you know, I would forgive them, but no, you need to.
You need to, yes.
And go on in God. Go free in God. Knowing I have asked the Lord to forgive me, and my trust in God says, by asking, he has forgiven me. Because you know what we're going to wait on? We're waiting to see, like we're God, if you're going to ever do it again. We're waiting to see if you're going to stay. We're waiting. You know, they've been here for a month now. Maybe they did get something out of the hall. I know people who've been around for 30 years.
Wow.
I ain't going to say they didn't have anything, but whatever they had, it wasn't enough to keep them. And when something came along that they loved more than God, there they went. That's the reason why you need to get rid of, that's the reason why you need to put God above everything. Because if not, sooner or later, and the devil's got all the time, you know he's immortal. He's going to live long, been around longer than you, going to live longer than you. And he's got all the time to wait for you. While you're going through all these things of thinking what you got and your arrogance and your this and your that and the other, he will wait. He says, well, you know, you haven't seen the right one yet, but I got one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Lord says, by the Lord, let him come my way. Because God says, by now, man, my God, by now, woman, my God, you ought to be able to walk away from that.
Yes.
And it finds out what it's really like. This man is saying, the consolation of Israel is here. My deliverer is here. Your Savior is here. In the name of anybody on earth,
it's Jesus.
The same Lord that saved me has to save you. And the same Lord that saves you is the one who saved me. The same Holy Ghost who dwells in me is the one you need. And the same Holy Ghost that you need is the one that I have. And the same God that watches over all of us is the one I have. It's the one you need. And the God you need is the one I have. If you want the heaven that I'm going to, then you need the God that I have. If you want to be sure of it, then you need to do what God says do. God is not willing that any should be lost. And when he says lost, he's referring to not only lost as far as being in sin, but you can be lost and in the earth.
Yes.
Your life is just one continual question mark. I don't know what I'll do tomorrow. You know, most of us don't know everything we're going to do tomorrow, but we have one assurance. We're going to be in God.
Amen.
We will be all right because we're going to be in God.
Amen. Yeah.
It isn't like our life is so mapped out. We can write a prequel to a diary and say what's going to happen. It isn't that. But we know if we have God, we're going to be all right.
Yes.
Whatever we go through, if we have God, we're going to be all right. Here's the assurance. The God I have is willing. And there is a caveat. If I will obey God, if I will trust God, if I will obey God, trust God, follow God, he has guaranteed me that he won't allow anybody, anything, any devil, any demon to bring anything in my life that I cannot handle. Things come in your life that you can't handle because you don't have God. But when I have God, he has guaranteed me, if I will obey him, if I will trust him, if I will follow him, he won't let things come in my life that I can't handle.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
He's promised me that.
Yes.
God is faithful and will, with the trial, the temptation, the trouble, whatever comes, make a way out, an escape, a way that I can be delivered, a way that I can be all right, a way that he, you know, that I may be. He says he doesn't allow anything to come in my life above that I'm able to bear.
Yes, that's true.
So what if this and this and this happened? I'm going to stay in God.
Yes.
And what troubles I have, God allows, because he knows I can bear those. And I can. What does it mean to bear them? I have enough faith in him to wait for him to deliver me in them.
Yes. Yes.
If you've ever wondered, what does it mean to be able to bear him? You just square your shoulders up and say, hey, I'm going anyway. No, it means that when this thing comes, I won't give up God for that.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'll wait for God to deliver me. And you know, when you look at Job, if this comes, I won't give up God for that. I won't say, oh, well, I was waiting on God, but I guess I give up. No, he doesn't allow it. So well, how do the troubles come to people who who in God? They allow it. They allow it. You're someplace you ought not be. You're with somebody you ought not be with. You're doing something you ought not do. You're saying something you shouldn't say.
That's true.
You're having something in your life you ought not have. You're in a place that you ought not be. And if you have the same Holy Ghost I have, God has already told you, touch not the unclean thing. But there you are with your hands all over it, all in it, and every place else. Sure, something's going
to
come.
Up to your elbows.
Yeah.
But God is faithful again.
Yes, he is.
Faithful again. And when you figure it out, if you'll call on God, he'll deliver you. Saints of God, everybody standing. Saints of God, you really need the Lord more than you think. Need him every day and every hour. God is our deliverer. We need to stop playing around and acting like we've got all this. It's a little song that we used to sing. I tried him. He never failed. I tried him. Never failed. Heaven. And this is what the Word of God says. We'll pass away, but Jesus, he never fails. Have you ever tried him? If not, you ought to try him.
Yes,
I mean, when I've been up and I've been down, the Lord has been with me. When I was right, when I was wrong, God was with me. When I was right, God was there encouraging me. When I was wrong, God was there to lift me up.
Amen.
And to tell me how to get right. It is one thing to tell somebody they're wrong. It's another thing to tell them how to get right. It's one thing to tell somebody they're someplace they have no business being. It's another thing to correct it. And not only that, but to help them get where they need to be. And God doesn't just tell me what I need to do. God helps me. You hear me? He doesn't just tell me what I need. God helps me.
Yes, yes.
I am where I am not because God just said, well, you need to be saved. God helps me.
Yes.
God stepped in. He didn't just say, well, you ought to get this one. He helped me.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to his name.
Glory to his name.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, we thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for your delivering power. Lord, you not only came to me and found me, oh God, but Lord, you delivered me. Lord, you didn't just tell me what needed to be done. Lord, you helped me. Lord, for all the things, Lord, that I was not able to do for myself, Lord, you did them. Lord, you just keep on making a way and doing great things. Lord, I ask you now, Lord, to stretch forth thy hand of mercy to everyone in the sound of my voice. Give them a mind to stretch forth thy hand and say, help, Lord. Lord, deliver. Lord, work it out. Tell him, Lord, I'll serve you. Tell him, Lord, you're the God of all gods. You're the Lord of lords. You're the God of the heaven of the heavenlies. Help, Lord. Lord, come in. Tell him, Lord, deliver us tonight. Whatever we're going through, whatever situation it is on earth, whatever it is. Lord, you are a deliverer. Lord, you know a way out. Lord, out of nowhere. Lord, you know a way out. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, you work things out. Come in, oh God. Move mightily tonight. Lord, reach deep in us. Save us, oh God. Put your spirit deep in us, oh God, in our hearts. In our spirit, oh God. Lord, lead us and guide us. Lord, we need you.
We need you, oh Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, don't worry, just save us and keep us. Lord, by your power divine. Lord, stretch forth thy hand. Touch all those that are sick in their body and any disease. Lord, and heal them tonight, Lord. Remember Ella Tiangela Rogers, Ella Russell, Lord, Ella Tiangela's mother, Lord, Ella Jenkins, all those, Lord, who need you, Ella Triani, oh God, all those who need a touch, Elvis Smith, Lord, everybody who has any ailment, Lord, Lord, in this situation, Lord, heal them tonight, Lord, and all those who are affected in their minds, Lord, I pray, Lord, deliver us in our minds. Lord, give us a mind. Ask God, Lord, keep my mind, deliver my mind. In the name of Jesus. Lord, for everybody who's in the under any sort of depression, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Loose them in Jesus' name. Lord, we ought not be depressed because our God is able to do all things. With him, nothing's impossible. Why should we ever lose hope, oh God? Lord, help us, oh Lord, and call on the one, Lord, who has all power. And deliver. Lord, touch all those, Lord, who are going through any sort of dementia. Lord, heal those who are starting to go into dementia and don't even know it. Step in, oh God. And Lord, move, Lord. Touch, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, drive back every evil and unclean spirit. Lord, keep us from every lying and seducing spirit. Lord, those that cause us to think one thing when there really is another, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, touch all our young people. Lord, anoint them in the house of God. Give them a place in you, oh God. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Lord, add souls to this church, oh God. Lord, send in men and women. Send in faithful men and women. Lord, send in men and women, Lord, who are willing to serve you. Lord, send in men and women, Lord, that will give their bodies a living sacrifice and will give the sacrifice of themselves and their praise.
Yes, Lord.
In the house of God.
In the house of God.
Lord, bless them, Lord, beyond what they're able to, beyond what they're able to ask or think. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus.
And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. You can be seated. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Thank God.